What's up, my jiu-jitsu? Welcome back for another edition of our show. And today, we are here with my boy, Michael Ross, my boy, Devontae Jones. I was going to say DJ for a second, and I just have And Mark, and my man Mark. And I don't know your last name, Mark, and that's kind of on purpose because I want this to be organic as possible.
Yeah, Mark Libinati.
Mark Libinati. And for those of you guys who have never watched the show before and listened, the show, the very second episode, how me and this man met, was we competed in competition together. He beat me, and here we are. And so now, we got Mark here. Mark won my ass last competition, JJ World League. He got first place. He's the champion. I bow down to you, sir. Thank you for kicking my ass.
Nonsense. It was back and forth for sure.
It was a hell of a match for sure.
Back and forth.
I actually have the video on my phone. It was a good ass match. It was a great fucking match down to the last second.
Yeah, last second you almost took it back.
Yeah, I was screaming, Uchimata, Uchimata, because you guys were trying to stand back up. Yeah, that was a good fight.
It hurt me to my heart because I was like, I didn't know Jason and him were in the same division. So I was like, man, you're doing good. I was like, man, I'm rooting for you. And then I saw Jason when I was like, wait a minute. I was like, is he in your division? Like, yeah, that's who I'm going to go with. It's like, it's like, crap.
Can't wish me good luck.
Yeah, I was like, man, have a good match, man.
You know, that's how I felt about your first match, too, against Trevor Hansen. My boy, he's still one of my training partners. You know, we go back since seventh grade, so it was tough to watch you guys battle.
All right, so I said I was going to say something in the beginning.
Go ahead.
So this has happened three separate times. One time it happened, I was by myself. I did an absolute division, and it was a smaller guy. And I was like, I'm about to destroy these little dudes. For the finals, I fought a guy two weight classes lower than me. He beat me because I just went in the mind frame of like, oh man, this is gonna be easy, you know. And he had his way with me. The second time this happened was against this guy. T was like, oh yeah, he just got his blue belt. Oh, he's gonna try to talk to you. He's gonna be nice, man. But he's gonna be easy, man. Don't worry about it. I'm like, all right, well, you know, whatever. And sure enough, he was super nice to me. And I was like, all right, cool. And he gave me all kind of hell. And I'm like, I'm never listening to T again. The last time it happened was with him. He was like, look. He's like, hey, this is my guy. Just don't hurt him, man. And he put this energy out there like he wasn't that good. And I was caught in the Kimura for like at least 2 minutes, man. My shoulder was hurting.
So can I just be clear?
I tried to warn you before you. I was like, nah.
No. I know. Hold on. I took your advice. She was like, look, man. Get out what he's saying.
Nah. So let me be very clear. I wasn't trying to say my boy Trev wasn't good. I was trying to say like, hey, he got to work on Monday. So, like, if you got some hate and energy, save that for the finals. Like, save that for the finals. Like, do what you got to do to win, but save that for the finals.
Here, that wasn't an easy match. And I remember I got off the mats, and he was like, I was like, yeah, man, he had a good chemo. He was like, oh, yeah, man, I forgot to tell you about that, man. Dude, and that, like, he almost caught me twice with that, man. So, I'll never listen to, like, I don't care how nice anyone is or how non-experienced someone say they are, I'm going in. I don't care.
Welcome,
man.
So you're on me and T's side.
Man. No, for welcome, sure.
I actually have a question, man. So you guys, I haven't had the pleasure to compete against you. So how long have you been training? Like, what got you into jiu-jitsu? Like, what's your like origin story?
My origin story, yes. I've been training 2 years, a little bit more maybe. I have a buddy at work that was just talking to my ear, like, you got to try jiu-jitsu. And I work inpatient psych. I'm a nurse. And so I, you know, we get physical with the patients because a lot of times they don't want treatment, they don't want help, but doctor's orders. And sometimes they physically try to leave the unit and, you know, you got to stop them. So
that explains the physique, okay.
So I eventually, after probably 3 years of him just like, you got to try it. And I'm like, I'm hesitant. I don't want to get hurt, you know. But I go to his place. He puts on a gi and he's like, okay, so just basically just try to get past my legs. Just try to get chest to chest with me. And I, of course, I'm thinking in my mind, so this guy's like 250 and he's athletic, but I'm like, I'm athletic. I can get by. I can do this.
Yeah.
And that's when I had that, you know, I think that moment that we've probably all had where it's like, no, this is black magic. There's nothing I can do to beat him. There's no amount of athleticism or strength that is going to help me win this, you know. This.
What belt was he?
Blue belt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he's a really good blue belt, but like at any rate. So I had that moment. And then, you know, cascade of emotion, like, I felt so comfortable with the thought of getting in a street fight because, like, I can manage. I could, you know, and I just realized, like, dude, I just woke up from a delusion, and mm-hmm. I gotta learn this black magic. This is a superpower, and I want to learn it. And I've been addicted to jiu-jitsu since.
Mm. The Mikey Muzumeki effect. That's all you want to do.
Yes. Yes.
No, that's awesome. Shout out to you for like being able to recognize like, oh, there is a lack within and be able to willingly go challenge yourself and say, you know, I got to fix this. I respect that. And that's, again, part of the reason why this whole show was spawned is for people like us and to inspire people to, I don't want to say be like us, but to like just go out and chase their fears and, hey, if there's a weakness, fix the weakness.
Yeah. Develop a new passion.
Exactly.
I like that. That's honestly, man, that's kind of how it is, because especially in your line of work, like you said, you have to be able to kind of stop them from leaving the room. Just like you said, doctor's orders.
And, is, you know, the energy different? Like when like they know like, hey.
I feel like I have a new confidence at work. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't explain this, but the final straw that kind of was like, hey, Joe, let's go train jiu-jitsu, was I saw one of my coworkers who's not trained in jiu-jitsu at all, but I saw him, there was a code gray, which means combative patient. And so I ran into the room and he had him wrapped up. He had back control hooks in and everything. Mm-hmm. This young guy is like thrashing, struggling. And my coworker just had complete, absolute control. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I've never seen one staff control one athletic, like strong young man before. And I was like, all right, this is a superpower that I need to dive into. So I think to answer your question, yeah, I feel so much more confident at work. I'm just kind of walking down the hallway. Like, you know, I get live training 2 hours a day, you know, 4 days a week of like just controlling another human. And most of the people aren't trained there. So I feel very comfortable.
So we have like similar backgrounds. I didn't get into jiu-jitsu because of that, but I worked in a place pretty similar. It was with mentally challenged people, and they were adults and they were high functioning. Mm. And like when they would attack, they would, and like it was no holds bar. And one of the guys that used to work with us.
And they got that strength.
Oh, no, yeah.
Strength. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the guys I worked with got his jaw broke. And it was like, hey, look, this is like serious, you know? And so when you're talking about this experience, I'm thinking like, when I was younger, I didn't know anything about jiu-jitsu, and to see a coworker be in a situation like that, like, man, I'm glad I wasn't here to have to deal with this, man, because I'd have been like, what the heck do I do? You know? So it's like, I know it's like a piece that you have now. It's like, you know, if something go down, we're good. I got you, you know?
I remember my first code gray since starting training. And it was weird because the combative patients kind of come in waves. Sometimes, you know, there's nothing going on for 6 months in a row. And then, but I remember he was facing, I basically got rear body lock and just did I forget what it's called, but just where you just kind of like bring them over your own leg. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I tried to get that on you when you hit the Uchimata over here. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
And just falling to mount of the head and arm. And like, I was just thinking like, oh my God, this would have been totally different, you know, 6 months ago. Like I would have had no idea what to, I would have just been like hugging one arm. And now, I'm just telling security, no, just back off. You're in my way.
Like, get some extra practice.
Go give me a drink.
It's funny you say that. Even just the other day, I was walking over here to the CVS. You know how live it gets over on Hollywood Boulevard. And as I'm walking in, the security guard is about to get this altercation with this guy. And like I'm like right sandwiched in the middle. And I was like, you know what? This dude looks a little bit bigger than security guard. I could tell this guy is posturing. And if he's not, he is at that brink to where he might actually do something. I could stop this fight, I feel like, if I just de-escalate it. So that's what I did. I was like, all right, let me de-escalate, talk to the guy. But the confidence I had is being like, I can handle this situation. If anything popped off, it's just like through the roof. Before, I would be like, I ain't messing with this. Let me get out the way. Not, and I'm not saying I should be doing things like that. This particular scenario, I talk to security guard often. Like it's like this is like a unique scenario type deal.
Do you feel, and this is like for everybody, do you feel like now is it a mind thing, or do you think it's just a certain energy now where like you'll be in a situation like a CVS or like somewhere and you'll see like a person coming in and they're being like kind of rowdy or whatever, and they get around you? And like it kind of like softens a little bit because because now I've been getting it to where I'm like, I'm had like a really hard day of training. Like I come in tired and I'll see someone kind of eyeballing a little bit. And when they get around me, I can tell like they start settling down. You see what I'm saying?
I know what you're talking about. And I think there's the first thing that popped in my head when you started talking about this is just there's kind of like sometimes we'll get a patient that's kind of like a prison mentality. Well, they're kind of walking in the center of the hallway, like kind of taking up extra space, making people walk around them, kind of have that intimidating energy. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, victim of the intimidation before, you know, like, I don't want to start, you know, just kind of move out of the way. And not that I'm confrontational with this person, but I don't feel, I know I act a different way. I know I'm not emotionally affected the same way I used to be. So I know that I have a certain calm and confidence, and I notice now that, yeah, people, just like you're saying, kind of change their demeanor around me. It's less confrontational, more like they might be, you know, kind of bully mentality of someone else. And then they kind of come to me and get closer. I'm not tensing up. I'm not like, and I feel like their attitude changed a little bit.
It's like it throws them off when they see you so relaxed.
That like, that peacocking comes with a level of awareness, just because they're reading what like them puffing their chest out is doing. And like before I got into jiu-jitsu, like I got into a lot of like stupid bar fights. Like I thought I was a cool dude, and like I've said it 1,000 times, that 170 pound dude changed my fucking life, bro.
I want to hear this.
Well, coming out of football, I was like 280. I got into jiu-jitsu. I tried it in my hometown for a bit, and then I moved up here and I met like a high level wrestler from Simi, and he fucked me up, man. it was a bad time. But like the energy I used to give off before that was kind of fake. Like I knew I was just gonna try and slam these people around. But the like learning a martial arts and just knowing you know how to defend yourself just comes with a different aura. Mm-hmm. And like that's what it is. Like they can tell that their posturing does nothing to them. So they start thinking like, what the fuck? What's about to happen to me? And like I've been into way less fights, and like Jay said, like usually in times where I can enter, like, just put myself in the situation and, like, is this really what we're going to do right here?
And you look just like that. You look
Yeah, and it usually ends very quickly.
And there was a moment where he looked at me and did that exact assessment right there. And I looked at him as calm. And then completely changed. This man, in that second, we had a human moment. He broke down and started crying. He was like, I'm just tired of people treating me like this because I look like this. I didn't have fucking words for him. I'm like, God, please, like, I don't, like, we're just standing there staring at each other, and I had nothing to say to this man, but the point of me saying that is, like, I think that's what people are dealing with, is, like, that tired, that tension, they're carrying it around with them, and they don't have a release for it, and I feel like people like us have found a way to release that with jiu-jitsu. People out there who have this stress aren't getting that release.
Absolutely.
Actually, speaking of release, sorry, I got to reset this camera. And then go ahead, DJ, right after that.
No, I was just going to say, like you said earlier, like you look feral. Like, when you came in, I haven't been able to train, and I feel feral. Like, I could be in the store, and someone's like, have a good day. I'm like, what? Like, I said, have a good day. I'm like, oh, you too.
Yeah. When you miss, like, a couple of weeks of jiu-jitsu, and, like, when you're giving people hugs, you're like, hey, what's up, man? And you, like, start getting, like, neck control.
I miss it, and I already know, like, the second I get my answer, there's nothing anyone can do to stop me, not my lady, not my mom. I'm back in the gym. But
well, you know it's going to be like 2 weeks before you right get the jiu-jitsu lungs back. How long has it been?
The last time I trained was the day before my injury, so April 29th was the last time I was on the mat.
Oh. I actually have an idea for you. Not to derail us, I have an idea.
Yeah.
So, are you an anime at all? You can say no. It's okay.
I know a few shows.
Are you into X-Men, like X-Men 97, like the old, and like
I
Batman
that.
Cartoons and all that fun stuff? Okay. So, this concept is pretty much like that. Let's train swords, but with your good hand. Like, you and I become sword fighters with one hand, just like katanas, bro. It's a perfect time to do it.
Katana?
Bro, I got plastic practice wood katanas in storage right now.
Hold on. You're telling me no. I've been looking for my chance to turn into Darth Vader since I was 12.
This is what I'm saying. This is the perfect time for us to do it. Let's do it, man. We can document it and everything. What? What's on your mind,
this
bro?
This sounds like an accident waiting to happen, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Have you seen those dog war videos or those dog? It's something. It's basically people that fight with weapons. Like It's like they go to a gym and they have not sharp swords, but like wooden sticks.
Oh, stick I think fighting. I've seen this, and they got like
they have like fencing helmets on. Yes. But like it's MMA and
they can hit each other and punch each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's like judo, jiu-jitsu, MMA.
You know about
like,
it?
Yeah,
that's what I'm imagining.
No.
Oh, that's too far, Ross. This show's about being a martial artist.
Yeah, bro. Okay.
Oh, it is. What do you think about car jiu-jitsu?
Car, honestly, I will watch that, but I can't even really maneuver in a car by myself.
Honestly, like I think there's some relevance to it. What if you get kidnapped?
Yeah, that or what if someone tries? What if one day you, for some reason, you're doing Uber, right? And the person tries to attack you.
Exactly.
Two fingers to the seatbelt can't.
Yeah,
exactly, man. You've been watching car jiu-jitsu. You see that?
Oh man. Would you do it?
Would I do car jiu-jitsu? Yeah. Yes. Yes, hands down, 100%. No questions asked. Yes.
The crazy thing is, we don't even need it to be sanctioned. We can start our own little league
right now.
Just get everyone from Forge and Misfits. You know, call your gym. We got a car jiu-jitsu tournament.
This is hilarious.
I have a theory that like you should kind of be prepared for almost every scenario in life, if possible. One of those scenarios is if you're taken, right? If, like, you know, hostage situation, whatever the case is, you might need to be in the car and figure out how to get out.
Ross is just disgusted right now. He's
look, no mess around me. My lady, I got her doing pull-ups now because I was like, what are you going to do if you can't pull yourself up a cliff? She was like, well, now I'm going to do pull-ups. So now she's doing pull-ups.
Nah, wait gotta, for you to grab me.
I got one for me. That's it.
That's got to make peace with God at that point. Like, thank you, Jesus. It was a good run.
Hey, I got to tell my girl that because now I'm like, yeah, grab my little hand.
Grab my small hand.
Grab my little hand.
Oh, man. That's funny. But yeah, you do. You do have to be prepared for every like scenario. Like you said, like I did. I've been doing jiu-jitsu for like 7 years, 8 years. One day it just hit me. I'm like, I'm really proficient. Like, I know I'm proficient in jiu-jitsu, but I only have, like, street fighter skill. And, like, I had just been watching, like, more intricate striking. And it just hit me, like, I'd get fucking destroyed in a stand-up. And that's why I switched over to Muay Thai, just with that same mentality. Like, you got to be prepared.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially because I talk a lot of shit,
man. Man, ain't nobody gonna mess with you, man.
Nah.
Like even when I was talking about like you walking around with like a different aura around you, you already have an aura about you. So you look like double trouble at this point. Like you're super calm you're big.
Dude. You'd be so I get like the same two types of people that want to fight me all the time.
Small guys.
Small guys and dykes, dude. I don't know what it is, bro.
Really?
I don't know what it is. That dykes are always like, you looking at my girl? I'm like, possibly.
you like antagonize it, like, because you want it.
That might be what it is.
It's the smooth skin, bro. It's the smooth skin. That's what it is. Yeah,
I don't know, bro, but those two, like normal size guys, they'll be like, oh, like we can be cool, but like super small dudes, they're
like, what you gonna do?
They think they're like, oh, you think you're better than me? I'm like, I'm just trying to get my juice, brother. Get my juice, man.
But not to, I don't want to hijack.
No, go ahead.
I don't want to hijack your question because you're gonna say something about it. But I do want to know because I wasn't able to stay for the whole time. How did the last tournament went? Because when I saw you, you won. But when we talked, you was like, oh, like it was something else.
Yeah, so I competed IBJJF, what is it, Masters International, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, you just did this like
last Wednesday?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I researched the guys in my bracket. There's only two other guys, and so I won my first match. Casey was able to see that match. That was pretty cool. And then the other guy I went against, he's got a whole bunch of matches. He's got a bunch of footage of the same thing. He like does like a collar drag or ukewaza type sacrifice throw to mm-hmm. just straight into side control and just punishing pressure. And I was like, I watched like six matches of this, and not normal side control like that. His body is 1 inch off the ground, toes pressed into the mat, shoulder into the face. I mean, he's got like that vice grip, yeah. Like. Anyway, so I'm like, I don't want to be on the bottom. So, and he did the same takedown. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna bait the collar drag or whatever, the sacrifice sweep, just jump over his leg, run around the side, and just play top. That's what I'm gonna do. So, match starts, leaning into it. It takes about a minute before he gets the look he wants. I'm like leaning into him, like, come on, do it. And he does it, but he executes it perfectly. Like he had the torque on my shoulders. He kind of tripped my, he raised his leg because I jumped over his leg, but he raised it way higher than I was expecting. So anyways, he played right into my game plan, which played it right into his game plan. And I was just bottom side control, crushed for 4 minutes, staring at both my coaches. I'm just like, they're not even giving me advice. They're just like, I feel like they're just mourning. Like, I thought the first 10 seconds I was under this guy's pressure, I thought about tapping. Like, I genuinely.
Was that bad?
Dude, it was like my neck was going over here. My body was going over here. And he led up to, like, stabilize the position in a different way. So I didn't tap. But he was the strongest dude. The position he had me wrapped up in, I couldn't turn either direction. I mean, there just was, and he was just patient, and he didn't advance his position. He like kind of, it was a nightmare. It was like one of those moments. I don't know if you guys have had those moments, whether training or in a competition, where you feel so helpless that you're like, I never want to be in that position again, or mm-hmm. whatever. Like my journey, for the last whatever 7-10 days has been like, how do I escape that kind of pressure from side control? That was.
This is just what I call the ultra heavies. But do you have any fatties in your gym, dude?
Not at the time that I train. Unfortunately, it's kind of slim pickings with the big dudes. Okay.
You need to come to Forge, man.
I know. I see your guys.
Hey, brother.
Not to, hold it. Be clear. Not to poach, to train.
Yeah. Because I already asked to go to
the function. No, I know. No, yeah. I just want to be very clear because we always invite people on the show to come out to that. This is not out here trying to steal anybody's students or anything. This is like, hey, let's all train and get better together.
I will say this much, man. Definitely go to train. But if you have asthma, take your inhaler. Bro, that gym was so fun, but every gym I've been to, I was able to get rest rounds, whether it's because someone didn't want to roll with me or whatever. No, not in their gym. And then they have dudes that are like this. They're like, oh,
I'm a smaller guy.
They're not. But he's not. That's the thing. He is, but he's not. Both of them. They're not small guys in terms of how they roll. Like, so yeah. Forge is just filled with guys like this. And then they're egged on by T. Because T's like, yo, you lost to someone not from the gym. No. Body slam. No.
Hold on. But what you're referring to is someone different. You're referring to someone like yourself, someone like, what's that big light-skinned dude's name?
I don't know. I think it's Seth. I know who you're talking about, though.
Seth or Shane?
Shane.
It's Shane guy, right?
And what's the other big?
There's Pete.
Pete. These three guys would be perfect for you.
Let me tell you right now, bro.
Not Pete, bro. Not Pete.
But because Pete will like watch you and be like, ah, okay.
Pete.
Round six, seven.
hey, want to roll?
Sinister.
Pete watched me go around. I asked him, I was like, you want to go? He's like, oh, I'm going to stretch. Okay. He watched me roll two more times. I asked him again. He's like, oh, I'm still getting ready. And then I just forget about him. I go five more times, and then I just see this spry big guy jumping around, stretching to just resume to try and put all of his weight and strength on me. And I'm like, this fucking guy.
but so you've never had that in practice?
Not never. I mean, our head coach crushes. Like, I've learned to just not fight his side control, wait for him to get bored and want to move on to the next position. Mm-hmm. Like, he's even like, come on, you're not trying to escape. I'm like, I know you, coach. You're just going to smother me afterwards. Like, just wait. But no, I just need it more often, more frequently. Mm-hmm. My 9:30 class is like, I'm one of the bigger guys, and there's no like really big guy in our 9:30 class. So, mm-hmm.
How tall are you?
6 foot.
I have to say, man, you've crossed the level, man. You're a big guy. You're a big guy. You're one of us.
I'm one of you guys.
You're one of us. You just cut. Yeah. That was it. But you're one of us. Because I have bro, on the video, you don't look that big. Whenever you walked in, I was like, oh, he's a head.
Yeah, way big.
Game 10. Yeah. In the ultra heavy, it's you that I don't want to deal with. Like the guys who are 250, 260, I'm like, okay, that's fine. I can't close the space to keep you pinned a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, just things like that.
So small guys.
So you at 225 is probably the guy in my bracket that I'm just like, oh, I don't want to deal with this guy. And then your cardio is probably way better than mine. Yeah.
And so you mentioned something that I've heard DJ do, and I think you do it as well. You said you research the guys.
Yeah.
I don't do it.
So I don't necessarily research the guys. I research you. I thought you. Actually, I don't know. No, I didn't watch your match. I didn't watch your match. I did watch a little bit of your match day of, if that made sense. Yeah. And I saw the thing you kept doing with Neil.
Knee slide.
Yeah. I don't want to put your game on.
No.
So like the knee slide, and I was like, oh, okay. It's gonna be a trick trying to get him half guard. I just don't want to be in that position. Kind of like what you were saying before. I just don't want to be in that position. But I watched that from the first match. But I don't really research people.
No, well, I mean, just because you haven't
researched their game, I look up their social media.
So you go for psychological battle.
Yeah.
But like, does it, like when you do it or if you've done it or whatever, like, does it give you like some type of peace? Because I don't do it. Like, it stresses me out even more.
So I don't do it as much in jiu-jitsu. I did it in football because you can talk a lot of shit in football.
Mm-hmm.
In jiu-jitsu, I don't do it as much, but I try and use it to kind of gauge how big they are. Like if they're a faster person or something like that. Sometimes it will put you at ease, but there's times where that shit will backfire and you'll just see them doing some shit that you're like, shouldn't have looked this up.
And to you too, before you answer, did you look up me and Jason when you had to face us?
No. So the only thing, your account's private.
I made it private for just recently. Go ahead.
Sorry. I also made mine private when I signed up for World Masters, I made mine private like maybe a month or two ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. Also for competitive advantage. I have not seen any of your matches, but I watched a couple of your matches before in that same competition. My coach was like, he's got a good top game. he said he looks comfortable on top. Let's not pull guard and fight for top position.
Wow. And I felt that in the tournament, and I felt that, and I didn't want to pull guard on you, but I was like, that collar, yeah. I got to see if I got it. I might be deep enough. Let me see if I have it. But no, kudos to you, bro. Kudos to you.
I wanted to talk about our rounds for sure. Yeah. I went, so you got cross collar while we were standing, and then you pulled clothes guard on me. And it was deep enough where I was concerned. It wasn't deep enough to tap right away, but I knew that if you held it for like a minute, mm-hmm. if you could hold that for a minute, that it was choking enough where it would have built up.
Got
or me. B, if that was like maybe 20-30% strength and you like had more to ratchet in, I right when we went down to the ground, I was like, I'm in trouble. Coach is yelling. I just taught the kids class. We were taught them how to defend the cross choke. So my coach mm-hmm. is yelling, just like the kids class, talk on the phone. And, like, and I was like, wrong arm. I don't like, I've just grabbed onto your arm and I was just like, just sit here, just be stubborn, just save my energy. And thank God you gave up on it or whatever happened. Right. And I was like, okay, blood back to the brain.
That's the same choke that you put someone out with, right? In the last
kind of, yeah. Okay. So I've been working on this. I've been trying to,
you look like you don't want to put it out.
I'm going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it in the episode 101 that we're going to do later, just because I think in the effort of honestly honor and being who I want to be, I got to address some stuff and put some stuff out on the air 100%. And so I don't necessarily want to talk about right now about who I got it from. But at the end of the day, it's been something that I've been trying to set up. And I did it in that last tournament. Mm-hmm. I tried to do it on someone in before. I think the match before I tried doing the guy.
I saw that submission. Yeah.
That was the first one. And okay. I got to talk about that too. I'm going to talk about that in this one. So give me 1 second. Let me check this camera. And then I'm going to jump in.
Sorry.
Don't do it, Jason.
Do what? He's in a good place.
Yeah, no, I'm in a good spot.
It's like,
you don't trust me. Okay, so let's go back here. What was the question?
No. So he was explaining his matches.
Yes.
And I was asking, did you look up information on Jay? Did you look up information on me?
That's right. My buddy Will, who went against you.
He went against both of us.
Right. Oh, really? Yeah. So.
I want Will. To be honest with you, I want you to explain, but it's one of the reasons why I want to go to the open mat. I'm like, oh, when's your open mat? Because I saw him in a picture with you. I'm like, Will's there? Oh, I need to be there.
Yeah.
But I think he even told me about you. He said, oh, I think you're going against one of my buddies. And I says, oh, what did you tell him? He's like, oh, I told him. He's good, but you know. But it sounded like he had like a lot of faith in you. So I'm like, oh crap! So I gotta, you know, I gotta be on my game.
I think I had that match on camera, by the way. I did not watch it. I told myself I was gonna watch it for the tournament. I never watched it. I just didn't have any time.
The match between you Casey guys. And Will,
yes, oh, down in San Diego. Okay, yeah, from JJ World League down in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever. Go ahead.
No. That was here. That was in Anaheim.
Was that Anaheim?
Yeah. Because
that was the one.
Anaheim.
Yeah.
Because remember, you went to one. Remember, we was fighting to see who's going to do 195.
Yeah.
And you did 195, and I had to do 208.
Maybe that's what it was. I thought it was the one I had to sit out that I recorded, and I saw you because that was. I thought it was the same one you fought Will.
Delmar was 195 when you fought Will in the finals. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm getting to mix it. Too many competitions, man. Yeah. Too many competitions.
Yeah. But go.
Okay,
ahead.
So Will showed me the video. Will's like, no, he's good, but he's like he basically goes for. He said, deep the underhook. He's looking for the underhook. And he's looking for deep half. Looking for the waiter sweep, and he's like, so as long as you know, just stuff that, and you should be good. And I'm like, there's this one guy at our gym that's like specializes in deep half, and he always gets me. And like I have a lot of trouble with him, and so I'm kind of nervous. I'm like, maybe Will's good at defending the underhook, so I'm prepared. I'm aware. And I was like asking one of my coaches, like, what do I do? He's like, just whizzer or whatever. And I was like, all right, I'll just whizzer when I get in there. And so you pull guard immediately, and I'm thinking, I like going straight chest to chest, half guard passing. Mm-hmm. But you get the underhook immediately, and then I'm like, oh, fuck, this is harder than I remember. Like, I can't just pummel to get a, I can't, and I was like wizard for like half a second. I was like, nope, not that. And so I just sit on my butt for the two point sweep. But that was my thought process. I was like, well, fuck, I need to prepare a lot more for this. Like, I just thought I would be okay. And
I'm cracking up because that's exactly, man, it's so hard to get this underhook on this dude.
Yeah, just tight elbows.
And you said something about your earlier match that it's like this. It's like you can see someone's tape or you can like have like your buddy like kind of go through things. But if someone's been working on this one move for like 2 years and you train like 2 months, you'd be like, all right, I'm going to stop it. It's like, no, he knows, this person knows all the tricks. You know, like they're prepared for it, you know. And it was hell trying to get you to turn over, man. Like, because you would let me get the sweep, but you wouldn't let me get side control. You were, like, adamant about, like, not letting me in. And I think, because we had to go against each other twice. And that second time, I was like, I just thought you were going to beat me. Because I didn't have the gas. You were super heavy. And it's like, and you felt so much stronger the second time. I was like, is this worth it? There were times in matches where I'm like, this isn't worth it, man. But
you pulled it out.
Yeah, barely.
So I have to ask you, bro, because I hate the way he fucking pulls guard into that. Like, however you do it, it pisses me off, dude. Like, do you feel like how do you feel like you can get out of that? Or like, how do you feel about how he pulls guard, bro?
So the first match didn't go my way, but the second match, the first part, mm-hmm. I had some success. Mm-hmm. I talked to my head coach in between our matches in that tournament, and he's like, dude, we've been going over Crazy Dog Pass for the last 3 months. That's how you avoid the underhook. And I was like, oh, okay. So you pull guard, and the same way, you can sit on your butt and kind of get the butterfly hooks in or you know, whatever. And I just went under, grabbed one pant leg and just kind of grab collar and tripod.
Yes, that's what it was.
Pant leg, collar, and tripod. Just weight pressure. Just wait. Because just my weight is eventually going to tire you out a little bit. But the thing is, I don't think I had your collar. I think I actually had your arm, which led to the Kimura later on. Mm-hmm. After I thought I passed.
Yeah, I
got past your legs. My hips, I think, were on your hips. I was still looking to get head control. I was still fishing for your collar, and you're posted on my bicep or whatever it was. And before I knew it, like, I was going chest to chest past your legs, and I'm like, all right, this is it. I just need to boop, arm behind my back, roll me over. I'm tapping immediately. I don't want any part of it. Like, as far as, you know, I'm not waiting out shoulder locks. I want to train tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You didn't do the half guard pull on him?
No, I did. It doesn't feel like it. Like, as soon as I go in, like, I go straight to the ground, I wrap one leg with my legs, and that's it. Yeah. Now he crushed it the second time because he had my pants leg and I couldn't keep control of it. And I'm like, crap, this dude's about to beat me. But he left his arm out too much, and I was like, all right, this is
taught me a lesson, dude. I didn't know that was a thing. I remember talking after the match. I was like, is that a thing? And you're like, not really. not really. You just left it there.
It's a Hail Mary. Dude, I was this last competition, my second match.
Oh, they played you.
Huh?
They played you.
Hold on. Dude was beating me 7-0 and left his arm out with 1 minute to go. And I kimura'd him. And I was like, yeah, man, that was a Hail Mary, dude. I'm sorry. But it was from the bottom. And it's like, you kind of go for it. But y'all don't like that game?
Huh?
You don't like that game, huh?
The way you pull guard just fucking pisses me off.
I'm cool with it because mind. I love when people pull guard because I'm going to headquarters and we'll sit there all day.
No, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. But,
I do. I'm like, no, we'll sit here all day. Like, you got to make a move.
I'm fine when people pull guard. I'm very comfortable on top. Like, look at me, bro. I'm fine on top. I'm fine on top. But the way you pull in the half guard, it's one of those things, like how Coach Alex says, there's only one Casey. You know what
You're
I mean?
Right.
And I've never seen anyone else do that. But the way you do it, it just looks funky and destroy people with that.
I know what it is. It's because, like, the way, I think it's the way that he has your leg tied up that it forces you to pull yourself forward with him. So you're entangled in his half guard. So you have to make a choice. Do I blow my knee out right now or do I just go forward and let him have this shit? Like, that's what I feel like it is.
Bro.
We rolled a few times, and I'd never seen him do that. So I finally come to the tournament. I'm watching it. He does it. I'm like, well, what the fuck was that? I'm like, that was a mistake. That was a fluke. The next match, I was like, no.
The next five times I did it.
Yeah, and by the end, I was just like genuinely like, stop doing that shit.
That's what I hate, going against people twice, because like in this situation, if I can get away with it once, right? Twice, he's gonna stop it.
Well, next time we roll, I'm gonna force you to wrestle with me, bro.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That was it. I'm gonna next time. Whenever I'm back, I'm gonna force him to wrestle with me, bro. Nope.
Going to the ground.
No, we're not. Dude. No, we're not.
Speaking of wrestling and competition, Mark, I did want to find out, like, what got you? Like, you're on a tear, bro. You're like, you've been competing a lot. You're sitting at the top of the division right now. Like, what got you in the competition? Why are you competing? Like, what is driving you right now?
I want to let you know, too, I feel some sort of way about you having a number one spot and me being, like, number four. It hurt me a little bit.
Yeah, just keep sitting down there. I like this number two spot. It feels good.
Hold on, I feel like
Endeavor right now.
So,
at 208, I'm number two, baby.
You're number two? So I'm not a 208er, so I'm okay with that. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, though.
You just got to travel more, get more points under your belt.
Yes.
go to Arizona, collect a couple more points.
Actually, dude, I can't believe you guys are talking back to your king like that.
What
are you talking about? This is the number one. This is the king in your division.
No. He's not in my division. I'm 195er, man.
Hey, we'll sell it on the mats. Yeah, we'll sell it on the mats. Yeah. You know, like, respectable gentlemen.
He peeked his head up at the 208, and he took me down. I have never beat you before. You be 2-0, both subs.
And I will run from you for the rest of my days, buddy.
Hey. Same for me, too. And that first one, even though it wasn't a sub, I count that as a sub.
You know, but you know what? Like, I never want to fight either you two again because I have wins.
You don't have to make these peasants feel better about
it. No. I have wins, and it's one of those things. Like, I don't want them getting back. You know, because I know they're gonna get better. I'm like, I don't know. You know.
I was listening to Craig Jones on the way over here talking, bragging about beating Rotolo, one of the Rotolo brothers when he was 17 before he's got his man strength. He's like, I'm never going against him again.
Yep. Because that's a wise thing.
Mm-hmm. Yo, so how do you feel about that? The CJI and him starting that, everybody leaving ADCC. How do you feel about that?
I think it's great.
Man, it makes me happy to hear that everyone in the community, at least so far that I've talked to individually, have been like, let's go.
Well, at the end of the day, I don't know about you, if you have kids or not, but whenever I have kids, they're going to do jiu-jitsu. And I'd like for them, if they want it to be a career, they can have that opportunity to make it a career. And even like the kids you train are like, because I'm 30, bro. Like, it's, I don't have that many more opportunities, you know, and like... Yeah. It's a younger man's game. Like, I see 20-year-olds coming up now, and I know, like, in like 3 years, I'm not gonna stand a chance.
Okay.
So it's kind of up to us now to like make that change and start making money in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, respect.
Yeah.
Real quick, I do want to give out. We got your question answered about the competition, but anyone who is paying attention, this is going to air on Monday, but this is Saturday. As of right now, Owen Livesley and Renato Cantu, they are now officially in the Craig Jones Invitational at 80 kilograms. So we got people coming over, baby. It's about to be hot over there.
Oh man, that's so good. Like I still want to hear why he got into the competition, but I'm seeing the people that they're getting the ADCC right now. And no disrespect to anyone that's in it, Craig is really going after names, and he's getting a lot of names. The people that I'm seeing that's going who are getting invites right now, I'm not very familiar with them. So I'm like, man, this is going to be, it's Craig did a good job, man. I really got to tip my hat off.
Well, you can't say that till it's done, but as of right now, hats off to my man.
He's got some good names.
Yeah. Okay, you know what?
It's like, why did you get in, and what motivated you?
So, when I started jiu-jitsu, my entire goal is to just remain healthy, like not get hurt. And so, I never thought I was going to be doing a competition. Maybe 6 months into training, I went to a competition to support the teammates, and I saw what was going on, and I was like, God, these matches look intense. Like, I don't trust myself to, like, I don't like to be safe and to tap early, and like I don't trust my own ego and so on and so forth. And then probably a year went by, and I got that bug, the bug to compete. I played water polo, and I always, just the games were always so intense, and just everything about, I definitely wanted to test myself. I think that's really what it was. I was intrigued. And after my first competition, which by the way, like 1 5-minute round, my first competition, never been so tired in my life. Every mm-hmm. single second was like a battle for my life. And yeah, after 5 minutes, I remember 45 minutes after my first match, I still felt like I wanted to throw up. I was just, the adrenaline dump. Like it was only one round I lost. And, but I, you know, I came with my footage of coach, and there's just so many holes to patch up. And I realized like the preparation leading up is, dude, the day of the competition is the worst. My nerves, even when I'm in the competition, I'm like stressed out and tired, and like, it's not fun in that sense. But when it's over, it's like, okay, looking back, and that's kind of what I enjoy. And then everything leading up to the day, like the making the weight, obviously the game planning, everything. I'm kind of addicted to that. So that's why I keep signing up for competitions, because I want to get better. I have fun improving. I have fun finding holes in my game and solving that problem. Like literally, like it was like, it's a puzzle, like going against you and realizing, oh, gaping hole that I've never seen, never really brought to light at my own gym, and going competition and bam, big spotlight. And I've kind of figure out one way to deal with it, and I go back and I OC Open, I got sucked into deep half guard and lost on a sweep, and I was like, how the fuck do I stop deep half? And that's when you saw my knee cut. I just forced my knee into the belly so they can't kind of like wrestle up, and that was like the neck, you know, the progression, that I get like a euphoria from correcting my past mistakes. Mm-hmm. and that's like the payoff. It's and I'm just after that next high, that I just want to keep dominating as much as I can, and then get exposed, and then patch it up, and just try to keep dominating. And
you know what I love about this? I didn't ask Mark shit. I didn't ask him anything about himself. I didn't ask him anything about his philosophy. And I love that he comes in exactly with the philosophy and kind of mindset that we all kind of have here.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
It's... Go ahead. Do you get scared? Or like I know you mentioned the nerves, and because I that's what I suffer from the most. Like my nerves kill me in matches. Like, are you ever afraid?
I am I'm afraid of, yeah. So what I'm like the most worried about, I'm not worried about getting hurt because I know I can tap. I'm worried about being so, like, my biggest fear in a competition is being so tired, so exhausted, being trapped in someone's side controller mount, and being too tired, being so tired that I tap out from like the shame that would come with like tapping from like a smother choke or whatever.
And mother's milk.
And I,
I'd rather eat a bag of dicks.
Hmm? What?
I'd rather eat a bag of dicks than tapping in a comp from that, like,
right, or tapped from pressure or something. That I mean, it's all real. I mean, those are all real submits, and I get it. But that's my fear, is like I don't want to be too tired to deal with one of these like non-objectively you're about to lose a limb taps, and so like just being so exhausted, and so just managing my own like my gas tank is. Mm. And of course, if it's tie or whatever, down 2 and 3 minutes left, and I got to get on top, and I'm hyperventilating, and kind of like our match, and like I can't think straight. I'm like up on your back. I think I was up like 4 points, and then you just kind of throw me, and then you're top side control with the time expiring, and Yeah, like it was, yeah. I just remember, like, I wasn't thinking straight. I was just exhausted. And I was like, that was a dumb decision. It was bad technique. You know, I'm kind of like,
yeah,
like I didn't have to do all that extra. I could have just, and, well, but anyway, that's,
I'm glad you did. Like, you won. So I'm going to say I'm glad you did. Mainly just because it, much like you, I'm going in and trying to fix holes.
Yeah.
For me, my competitions are my testing ground. It's where I prove that I'm worth my salt. It's where I prove that I know exactly everything I've been doing and I execute. Because if I can't do it there, I can't do it anywhere type deal. So I personally am working on that extra push. I looked at the clock. I was like, man, I'm down. The only way I can do this is if I pass, like I reverse this pass guard and then get mount and I secure the position. I can't do anything else. Well, there's not enough time. I should just give up. No, try, go for it. And that's what that's why I'm happy that, like, because it gave me that opportunity to, like, go for it and try, even though I wanted to give up on myself, knowing that I was down.
And so I want you to elaborate on that more, because you guys' fight, your finals fight was like, it was a dog fight, you know, because you were up first and then he had to crawl his way back.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know what's going on in your head in the final moments, or when he finally is up on points.
Yeah.
And the same for you. Like I want to know what's, like, going on in your head.
Well, I would say I was already kind of dealing with a lot, because I kind of messed up in my very first match. And I just want to first off apologize to Josh on that one. We talked offline about that. But at the end of the day, I don't think what I did was honorable, and I want to be an honorable person. Although everyone's like, oh my God, that was a great submission, da, da, da. But, like, I just feel like the fact that I took my mind off of the submission, like the match for a second, to feed into a petty vendetta.
Mm-hmm.
That's not honorable. That's not who I want to be on the mats, and that's not why I do this as a martial artist. So for that, I apologize. So I was already in my head of like, oh man, I don't necessarily deserve to be first place because I made that mistake as a person, as a warrior. Like, I shouldn't have done that. I was already kind of in my head about that. But I was also like, what really set it off was that underhook thing, the underhook reset. When we reset it, because I and I've looked at the video, I had my underhook. It was shallow, but I had my underhook. Because what I do is I do the shallow underhook where I go, like, right under your elbow and I grab your belt. So I'm under, but it's not, I didn't, like, exaggerate. So I get why the ref wouldn't say that I had it. But it was just very shallow anyways. So I made a tactical, much like you were saying, I made a tactical error at that point of, like, I didn't have my underhook. Well, I'm going to fucking get my underhook right now. And then so I went right back into that mode of trying to prove something, like I was in the first one. And so I had to, like, balance that shit and try to get back on course while trying to fight you, if that makes sense.
Were you up or down at this point?
I think I just got up. I think you had just reversed me. I think I was up 3 points, and I think you reversed me. And so you would have had, like, 2 points. Or, like, it was neck and neck at this point. Or you might have been up.
I don't remember. I don't even remember how I got my points, honestly. I know you were top side control. That's how you got your 3 points. And then I reversed the position, which isn't points. So I was top side control. I think you re-guarded. And then maybe I passed. Or I don't know. Did I get mount for a moment? Or I don't know how I got. I must have passed and got mount for a moment.
You got back. You got back for a second. Because okay. I watched it before you came over. So
okay.
And I have it right here. No, like, I just want to, yeah, no, I want it to be, like, legit. So we, like, you know, I had an understanding of two, and I do remember a lot of stuff. But, yeah, let me see if I can fast forward real quick. But ultimately, I believe you had got back. You got your hooks in. And, yeah, so you got back points. So you're already up by the point that whole underhook thing had happened. You had got back.
So
yeah.
7-3, and yeah. I was top half guard.
Yeah, top half guard. And so at that point, I was already kind of mad and, like, trying to, like I said, I was trying to prove a point. So I started skipping steps. I didn't trap your leg with the coyote guard. Like, I let your leg go free and you stepped out. And I was like, ah, shoot, now I got to beat this. And then, like, never mind. You know what I'm saying. You know how it goes.
No, but I mean, but you're saying something good, because I like to hear this, like, because I think we all kind of dealt with it before. You're saying that
frustration or emotion got in the way of, like, taking it step by step, kind of.
Correct, yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I just like in that moment of that underhook reset and just like, no, I got my underhook. I'm right here. I'm like trying to like control my emotions. Like, you know what? I'm going to prove that I got my underhook. I'm about to prove this right now. And then I got my underhook back, but it also like you used that against me, right? Like, so. What was it worth? Like, it would have been better if I had to stay calm and just like went within myself and was like, all right, make sure all your techniques set up, go step by step. You're not in a bad place. You're just down on points. You don't need to rush it. But I was trying to rush everything because I was trying to prove that I could win first place.
Mm. And the last one's like the finishing moments, like the finishing, I think it was like the last minute maybe. Mm-hmm. Cause I think you guys had both like stood up, you guys had stood up, right?
Yeah, no, so this is the part that drove me crazy.
He did that sacrifice throw. You did a sacrifice throw. That's what it was.
This was, I think it was still 0-0 when the second time I think it was 0. No, it wasn't?
No.
I thought that's how you passed my guard and got your points.
I know you got. So
there's two times where they stand up, like one towards the middle and one towards the end when the score is like pretty close.
Yeah.
So depending on which one you're talking about.
So this is the one I want to, like, that's the one I want to know what was going on in your head and when you, in your head.
Like at the end?
Yeah, because they were both standing up. He's up. So there's this nervousness of like, I could get beat. And there's this nervousness of like, I gotta get this win.
So I was watching from the stands and it looked like they were both in 50-50. It was Jay's leg, your leg, Jay's leg, your leg. So I was screaming like, go for the Uchimata, like just kick your leg back and throw him over because you guys are kind of already in that position. And I don't know if that's what you did, but you did some kind of throw and ended up on his back. And
okay, so I'm literally watching it right now. So what happened was they stood us up and then you went for the sacrifice throw. And when you did that, I stood back up immediately. And I was like, let me just go into headquarters and go knee cut. And so then I was able to pass at that point.
Yeah, that's.
And then she resetted us and put us in the middle. And then this is where we're talking about also like I made a mistake. I didn't prep. Doesn't matter. Anyways, long story short, I made a mistake and you reverse the position and you're on top. And that's what happens. Yeah.
And that's where that's where you end up.
That makes sense.
Damn.
And then you end up getting back mount. So that's where I was saying you got your back mount. And then so at that point, like, I know I'm like down on points. And I know like my only real way is to reverse this, and then they reset us. That's the underhook situation we're talking about. So my only real way is to like reverse this situation, get mount, and like secure the points or submit you at that point.
And so so you saying in those final moments, the only thing that was going in your head was like, I need to prove to them that I can get this, and I need to prove to myself I need to get this gold medal.
Up until I would say like the last minute to 30 seconds, because I was definitely watching the clock, it was very much like, can I do this? Like, you can't. It's really hard for me to hit three basketball shots in a row. So I have a hard time doing three things in a row. So it's more of like trying to like prove to myself I can do three things in a row. So I was like, can you do it? Block dodge your head. Who cares if you can't hit three baskets? Who cares? Like, what do you know? Like, how can you execute? That's why I said that last moment of like that sweep. I was like, hey, I executed my technique. I'm glad it happened because it gave me the confidence to go for it even though I was down.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, so reset in the middle. I was attempting to pass. Did you turtle? Is that how I kind of got on your back? Not points back, but like I was kind of just hanging on your back. But my center of gravity was really high, and you threw me over.
Right? Yeah, I think your arm was over here, and I was able to like shift the weight and like kind of almost like dump you over.
Yeah.
In that way, that's what happened. At the
okay.
end. Yeah.
And that was with like 3 seconds left, and thank God the ref was like, done. I was like, did I win? What? Did I lose? I thought I lost.
Nah. So what was going through your head during all that? Because I talked at it. Go ahead.
My only thoughts right now are thinking back in the matches. The stand up is what I'm always, I feel like most concerned with.
Same.
I feel like that's where all, like, if I get taken down and get stuck in a bad position, that could be game over, like that one match I was describing earlier. So I'm always like put a lot of emphasis on stand up, and I wanted to play top position, and I was really happy that we ended up after that first exchange, and you got the cross collar on me. And after I survived, I was really happy because I prefer to break a closed guard than try to, I don't know. I'm not confident in my guard as much. So anyways, I think a lot about takedowns, and I remember just trying to, after we made grips, our very first exchange, just trying to off balance you with an Uchimata, and my hamstring just met a brick wall. I just remember like I didn't off balance him at all. I was just like clang, and then reset. It's like okay. So and luckily when we were like kind of grip fighting, I didn't have to. I mean, luckily you saw the opening, you took that and didn't have to.
It's funny you say that because I was like, your grips are so strong. I was like, I can't break these to save my life. Like it threw my stand up off so much. Like I couldn't work anything that I was trying to work because I couldn't get your grips off. So
that's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah.
And then the second takedown I attempted was that sacrifice throw, and it was just kind of automatic. Our coach kind of recommends, we always try the ukiwaza, I think it's the Japanese term, but basically pulling you on top, butterfly hook, sweep to the side.
Copy.
And he's always like, you know, if you're ever like in scrambles, stand up. And he's like, oh, just go straight to that because they're not thinking. They're always going to be tired. Both you guys are going to be pushing into each other. So my automatic thought was like, okay, sacrifice throw. And we got into this position that this is one of those learning moments where like, I'm not always able to learn from my competitions. If I win, everything went smooth, right? But even though I won, there's a handful of things I was able to kind of take home that I was rolling with someone else. And I cited this little exchange that you and I had where I took you down and I had to rewatch. I was like, what was I even thinking after it didn't work? Your weight was, you were really balanced. You sat back. I wasn't able to off balance you. We're just kind of, basically I went into some sort of weak ass De La Riva type look and you immediately just like knee sliced right across it. And that's, I remember the next day, the next role I had, I was like, this is what happened. He's like, okay, well, De La Riva doesn't work if you're square to your partner. It's the vulnerability of De La Riva is the knee slide. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, you got to always be like chasing the angle, chasing the back with the De La Riva, if you want the De La Riva to work. Like, and in that moment I wasn't thinking go to De La Riva. I was just like, defaulting to this. And so that was a good learning moment for me.
I was going to say something. You mentioned the sacrifice stove being your weakness and you did the whole thing with your coach. Shout out to a competition I won, Adrian Zamuth. Shout out to you, bro. Spent the last 2-3 minutes on bottom north south, couldn't get out, but he hit me with a sacrifice throw. And that's where I picked it up. But I also learned, oh shit, I can stand up here. And so anytime I get hit with it, anytime I feel my energy go forward, my first thought is always just stand right back up and get your base back. It's never like, it's never any panic. So that was just something that I just happened to practice and prepare for, if that makes sense.
I'm always interested in what's going on in people's heads because I talk about it a lot in here. Like it's good to hear that you have nerves, that you go through nerves, because when we went against each other, you were really nice, and I didn't think that you was like bothered. I was like, I'm freaking terrified. Like, and when I asked you, like, oh, are you scared? And you're just like, oh, I'm scared of like gassing out. I'm scared of the people. Like, I saw you, how big you were. You were really nice, so it took it away. But when I first saw Jason came over to our bracket in a full sweat, and I'm thinking like, like, did he just compete against him? Like, was this a? Did you just already do a bracket and win? He's like, nah, man, this is how I warm up. That intimidated me, and then he beat a guy that tapped, and then the referee caught it off, and the guy was like, can I keep going? And I forget, it was some weird thing. And Jason's like, yeah, come on, let's keep going. And then beat him up for like another 3 minutes. I'm thinking like, man, I don't want to fight this dude. Like, I was scared of like they look so much bigger than me. They look scary to me. Like, this is what I go through. But you was like, oh, no, I'm just scared of getting tired.
No, that's a real thing. Like every person, like I size up everyone, and like in our bracket, there are some scary looking dudes with thick neck tattoos. And
who I went against, like I was like, bro, I do not. He's probably gonna be a strong wrestler. Yeah. Like this dude looks scary as fuck.
Yeah,
yeah. Your first dude had like a whole bunch of tattoos, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a certain look, and I think I've just learned over time, like never. I just try not to give anybody, and like I treat everyone like they're, you know, like there's this one guy on our team that gives me the toughest fucking roles. Like, just like Jason, just like you were saying with Sacrifice, he always wrestles up. Anytime I'm about to pass, he just stands up. Like anytime.
I hate those guys.
I mean, he's like, he's just high energy. And so he's a purple belt, and he taps me like 5 times around every round that we go. And, anyway, so I say that to say, I imagine him every single match. Like, I just think about him like, okay, if I can survive against him for like a minute and a half in, you know, in our roles, no one else is going to be tougher than him. And that helps me a lot, because if I don't want to make someone, I guess a delicate balance between making them a monster that's intimidating me versus like my confidence, like, no, I can survive against monsters.
Yeah.
And so even though like, I mean, yeah, you got a mean looking face with.
I never like, realized that,
dude.
Go ahead.
No, it might. I mean, what you were locked in for sure. Like this, I'm just reflecting what I remember thinking about you. You're doing your jumping jacks in the side, dripping sweat, alone. You know, you're not in the you're not in the bullpen chopping it up with us. And I was like, okay, this guy might be on another level. And dude, one of the other guys in the bullpen, by the way, he's like, oh, Jason. I haven't seen Jason, but I've gone against him, and like he'll be in the finals. Like,
you definitely. It's good to hear that. Though,
it does feel good to hear that behind the scenes.
And so, anyways, and then he's like, "Oh, there he is over there." And I look over, and I was like, oh, "He's fucking locked in."
You mean the guy sweating and drooling in the corner?
Yeah, got a couple scars, and like, I'm like, is that?
So yeah, just so everyone knows, like these scars aren't from anything amazing. There's no amazing story. I was a dumb, hot-headed teenager who was mad at his relationship imploding, drove his car really fast in the winter in Indiana, hit some ice, and hit a telephone pole in the middle of a parking lot at the mall, and went through the windshield. My face just said, tsh. And then so damn. They cut my eyes right here. I bit my lip off, so my lip was flapping. I just remember looking in the mirror. I was like, I was good. I was like, because you know, I'm a wild kid. I had like a lot of accidents and shit. I broke my neck when I was 9. So like I'd been in and out of the hospital. This is nothing for me, right? And I was cool. Looked in the mirror, saw my lip flapping. I was like, oh fuck. Hey, call the ambulance. Oh, call the ambulance. Man. I need some ice. Yeah. They got some of the shit. I can see my teeth right now. Fuck this. I did, like these are just an actual car accident. They're not even from anything like crazy, so to say.
Either way, intimidation factor. I'm looking over there. I'm just, you know, in my world, my story is like, okay, that's a scary looking, intimidating looking dude. And I kind of have to, I don't know, modulate my emotions. I try not to give it too much weight. I'm like, my jiu-jitsu is good. I can survive against monsters. Even like these guys are monsters, but I'm not gonna give up before the match starts.
Yeah, because it's crazy. Because I don't know if I was in that line in the bullpen, and they were like, "Oh, Jason, he's gonna be in the finals." If someone told me, I'm like, "Crap," you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like it'll stress me out. Like it doesn't take very much to get me stressed out, and it's weird because you're right. Like some people are just like locked in, like. You made it very easy for me because you were very personable and we were able to talk. I tried this in the last competition with the guy that I was in the finals with. And I'm like, hey, man, good luck, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, I see you out there, man. You look really good. He was this. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't breaking at all, man. I'm like, yo, I'm trying to be, like I'm trying to make sure, like when I'm going into a match, like, I want to make sure that people are on the same page. Like, look, we're trying to go to work in the morning. You know what I mean? Like, we're not trying to, I don't want to hurt you. You probably want to hurt me, but I just want to, like.
I wish you never told me that, bro. You never said. I hate people. Like, so any tournament I've ever been in, if someone was like, if you came up to me and you're like, hey, man, good luck on the next match, I'll be like, hey, good luck, you know? But when people are like, I know I'm the shit. Like, get out of here, little guy. Like, giving you that energy, I'm gonna squeeze a little harder than I was going to whenever I choke you, bro. Because what the fuck for? Like it's just a like another layer of peacocking that doesn't need to be done for no reason. You know what I mean?
But do you think that a person needs to have that just so they can like, you know, like to protect themselves? Because you're exactly right. Look, like I didn't take it that way. Like I just saw him like, oh man, he's not coming out. Like if he's coming intentions with hurting me, he's gonna follow through.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you give off that energy, motherfuckers are gonna like kind of pick their game up. And like all I'm gonna say is, if you give off that energy, don't be surprised whenever your shoulder goes around three times, because you're contributing to the adrenaline of your opponent. If you don't come off as personal, you think your opponent is, oh, he's really trying to kill me. So he's going to turn it up that much more, and it goes from putting the Kimura on like this to
like just snapping it.
Yeah. And so I go back to my first match. That's why I kind of feel bad about it, right? It's because now I also will say I feel like it was a phantom tap. Because it was like, boom, pause, then it was 1-2. So to me, I'm not stopping, especially in the competition. And I remember when he hit my arm the first time, I looked down, I was like, no other taps? Okay, I'm going to adjust this choke and make sure it's set in before I make my next move. Then it was like, by the second tap, it was like, get off me. Like, he was mad, and I heard my coach yelling, like, oh, he's turning purple. So to me, I'm like, oh, man, I went too far. Like, I went too far. I might have hurt him type deal. But that first tap wasn't a tap. So I can't really like 100% hold myself accountable, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I remember watching that match. I had a thought about that. I was like, okay, he had it in tight. He was, I mean, you weren't looking at his, you didn't see his face.
It was out the corner. Everything was out of peripherals.
No. I saw it looked deep, and then I saw him do that, and I was like, oh dang. And I was like, he's not letting go in my mind. And then I saw him do like a couple panic taps.
Yeah.
And then you let go. And I was thinking like, oh, maybe that first one wasn't a tap. And so, and I kind of like realized, like at first I was like, oh dude, this guy's a fucking monster. He's trying to kill people. and then like I kind of processed it and realized like, no, maybe he was just like, cause that's happened to me. I've let go of a Kimura cause a guy put his hand on my back, and I was like, yeah, we're all adults, and motherfucker's trying to pass me now.
Yeah. And that Brazilian tapping thing, it's a thing. They love doing that fake tap to get you to...
It was just one pat, because I was waiting for it. It was like behind his back. This is my very first match ever, and maybe it wasn't a tap at all, I don't know, but I was like of the mindset, like, we're fucking 40-year-old dudes. Like, let's go to work healthy tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's 100% the reason why I chop it up in the bullpen, trying to, like... portray that I'm trying to be personable. I'm a human. I have a backstory. You're a human with your own backstory. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want anybody to hurt me.
Exactly.
There's some guys that literally are there. They have like that adult bracket mindset. Like there's one guy that I researched, and I see he was just ripping Americanas on the, like taking from here to boom in one motion. And so I knew this about this guy.
Was that T? No. Shout out to T, man, breaking arms. Sorry.
No, his is private, so I couldn't watch any of his videos.
that might be for the better. That T probably didn't private his videos. The league private.
It's like, we don't want that press.
We don't want no one dropping out of fucking tournaments.
I like that you said that. I wish I could have been like in your head to know like what that feels like, because again, if I would have witnessed something like someone, like it would have came off as if like, oh, this guy's trying to hurt people, like they're tapping and he's still like trying to finish the job, you know.
Yeah.
And I felt, if I'd have seen something like that, I'd be like, man, I don't want to.
And that's why I feel bad, because I don't want people to think I'm that person. But, and I'm not that. And I saw his coach side-eyed me. But then, like, when I look back at the video, like we said, it wasn't a fucking tap.
No, he just placed his hand there. And it's just, it was very Brazilian tap-esque looking back at it. The fact that he's halfway submitted and then he moved his arm in a tapping motion, but then he just left it there. It was great. And you did what I would have done looking back. Like, yeah. Just, I've been Brazilian tapped before.
And not only that, bro, they tell you the ref stops the match.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The ref stops the match, 100%.
So here's the thing, like...
And the second I felt the ref touch me, I let go. So, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, but so something similar happened to me and Jay. And I have a bad like thing of like, if I hear like a lot of times it's with kimuras, if because I snap them on really fast and really hard, if I hear anything, I let go, and it's not a good practice to have. Like I've always been told, you wait for the ref to come in. Mm-hmm. And our situation was, I thought I heard something, and
I did say something.
Yeah, but he wasn't tapping, and we can look back at it and say like for sure he wasn't tapping, but the ref. Like, if you go right,
that's a tap. Yeah. In every tournament, bro, if you scream, they're gonna end the match.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, he didn't say that, but his words came out like louder, and the ref stopped it. And usually, like anytime I have something like that, and like I jerk it, and I hear like anything, I let it go. But it's not a good practice.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, I mean, I don't want to say sometimes you got to break it.
No, I should.
DJ will probably say sometimes you got to break it.
The thing was, here's the thing. Sensei? I should have tapped on that. Sweet delay. I should have tapped on that, though, is what I'm trying to say. It's like I should have tapped way earlier, but I'm just double jointing my shoulders, so. He got me to a point. I was like, "Oh, I actually have to defend this." I was like, "Oh shit, I got to defend this!" And like, that's what was coming out. It wasn't like, "Oh, I'm tapped." No, I was like, "Oh, I actually have to think now."
But you know how pissed I would have been if, like, I heard that, I let go, and the ref didn't stop it, I let go, and then you would have been inside. I'm like, oh, you know what I mean?
So.
Go ahead.
But how that handled it right away, I was like, yo, if I lost, I lost. I don't I'm not trying to contest this. So I was hands down, you won. Sure.
But I'm saying in my head, like, it's not a good practice to have. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you're right. Like, you know, sometimes you got to just like, all right, somebody better stop. You know what I mean?
You have a really good training partner mentality for your own gym. You roll. I mean, it's a safety thing. So mm-hmm. awesome training partner. But yeah, at the tournament level, I feel like
you got to turn that off.
I don't know. I there's a guy I look up to that I roll with that he's super. He submits really slow and controlled, and that's the way that I try to. I can train safely, but at the same time. I can continue to ratchet it slowly and maintain supreme control. So in a tournament, I'm not ripping things to get the submit. I strive to be able to just do it with really good control, and that's my thought process. I don't have supreme control with submits, but that's my goal is to just be able to submit slowly and controlled, so none of that is an issue.
Copy.
You know what I mean? Like if I have a kimura behind someone's back, I don't want to have to use momentum to get it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to hurt anybody ever, and I like the idea of just having that supreme control. Even though I mean, having momentum is definitely the way to get the for sure tap.
You know, now you bring up. I don't think we ever talked about this question, but I'm super curious. If you're in a match, because I want to ask DJ first, because I think I know what he.
You don't have to make this quick, because we are at definitely.
Gotcha. It's a real quick question. If you're in a competition, and you have a submission on, and a person doesn't tap, do you break it?
They should have tapped.
Yeah.
So you break.
Your safety is your responsibility. I say it all the time.
It's like this, man. Whenever I'm in a competition, I'm not like I don't really think I have multiple personalities in my head, but like it's a competition. It's me that played college football. It's me that played like sports throughout the years. I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about winning. That's why we're all here. And like, I signed a waiver just like you signed a waiver, and I know you'd do it to me. But the thing is, if you don't tap, I'm going to finish it. Yeah. I'm 100% going to finish it. And it's like, you. I don't know your body. Like Jay just told us he's double jointed. I've known Jay for over a year. I didn't know that. I'm double jointed too. But at the same time, I know where my shit's going to break. So if I push you to that point and you're still in a prideful mode it's not my fault that it broke. It's yours. It's 100% yours because I don't know how flexible you are.
Your safety is your responsibility. I stand on that. Mm-hmm. You seem to be agreeing?
I agree 100%. I will not break it. I've been, like, actually the guy after I lost to you the very first round had a super tight Americana. He must have been double jointed. I was like, his arm was backwards behind his back from mount, and I was looking at him, and he looked like he was in pain. I was like, "The fuck are you doing?" So I just let it go, and I just went to a different move because maybe if it was IBJJF and like I had already lost, I was like fighting back for third place.
Oh, wait, so you take a different stance than we take then?
I don't think anything is wrong with. Like, I have no problem with the philosophy of, like, your safety is your responsibility. I agree with that. I just personally, in that situation, I was fighting back for third. I'm going to just go for a head and arm choke or something. Like,
copy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no, I get what you're saying.
And I beat in Master Worlds, I forget what it's called, but yeah,
you'll break it.
Yeah, I'll break it. I'll break it.
So when you asked me the question, I put myself like in the championship situation, bro. Like,
oh yeah. Okay.
Like if it's for the first place medal, like, and you don't want to tap, I'm gonna do it, bro. I'm probably gonna do it. And then like I'll feel bad about it. Like the dude that I put to sleep in like my second tournament in front of his kids, I still feel bad about that shit. But he knew what he was caught in. He knew the possibility. You know, I didn't do that to him. He did that to him.
Well, on that note, sorry, not sorry. We got to put this podcast to sleep, so we got to tap out, yo. Mark, man, thank you so much for coming on, man. It's been a pleasure. Sir. We ran over our time. It usually happens with people.
Actually, sorry to interrupt, because I do want to know. Do you have any other plans to compete coming up, like any tournaments?
Oh, we got our positivity, too. We got to get high. On positivity.
No, I'm not signed up for anything because I don't see anything Jiu-Jitsu World League, local.
Okay.
Nothing so, in Vegas that catch your interest?
You're not doing Masters?
I'm signed up for Masters.
That's right. August?
About it. Yeah, okay, but nothing in between there because, okay. I mean, I mainly do Jiu-Jitsu World League, so I'm just waiting for them to post the next one.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna start getting out of state because I want that number one spot. So
do it.
Be looking for me, bro.
Do it. Hey, let's travel. Let's travel together.
No, let's do it for honestly. I'll be happy to do that. And yeah, positivity. High on positivity, real quick. My high positive note is I'm creating again. I'm doing more artwork. I'm enjoying it. It's like it's making me happy. It's feeling my soul. And I'm working on being kinder. You know. I think most importantly, being kind and showing love in this world is the most important thing right now.
I'm going to let you guys go first because I think about mine.
You go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay. Positive note, I love meeting new people. This has been, I was really excited to come here and do my first podcast, hang out, get to know you guys a little bit better. I know I'm going to be seeing you guys a lot around more than a couple times a year at competitions. Hopefully I can join, come to open mat or a class or whatever. I'll bring Will with me.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
He got
please.
Me a white belt. He's the one. Will's the one that I tell everybody who got me a white belt in my first tournament. Bottom 69 for like 4 minutes. I want that back, man.
Yeah, you know, his ball smell like.
You know, he had me looking bad in front of my lady and her girlfriends and stuff. They looked at me sideways after that.
There's no animosity at all. Just I would.
No, really no. There's no. No, no, no.
I would really love just to roll with him,
dude.
I just want to see. I want to see where I'm at.
Said it, I don't care.
Compared to. Sorry, I didn't cut you off.
No, you good. I'm sorry.
I just want to see where I'm at now compared to where I was at white belt. It's just. Where we're at.
That's dude, and he's a fun guy to compete against in the gym. He goes so hard in the gym in a good way. Like, it's a competition round with him every time. And
I can't wait.
Oh, dude, he's so much fun, man.
Positive. Get high. Let me go. I mean, let's go.
This is going to be a little out of the ordinary, but since I've been forced to sit down, gamers are about to be eating good this summer. That they released the release date for that Blacksmith Wukong game coming out.
I don't know what that is.
It's about Son Goku, it's like the Chinese mythology, like, monkey god that they have.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, all the games coming out this summer look crazy, and then on top of that, I've been cleared to
start lifting weights and jump roping again. Nice, but nice.
And sword fighting with one hand.
Nah, I'm still gonna have to have that surgery. But until my surgery comes around, I'm gonna be no Diddy. By the way, I'm able to lift and stuff. So
okay,
those are my positives.
Ross,
There's a lot of things that seem like they're bad things that happened in my life, but me and my girl have been talking about it, and everything that seems like it's bad is like actually a good thing, and so it's all about like how you look at things. I don't know if that's like positive toward whatever, but this is like a positive outlook that I have on life right now, and I'm hoping to hold on to that.
Man, respect, and I can agree with that. This right here, I could have took this. My losses is a negative thing, and. We're here, and I think this is a positive thing. So, shout out to everyone out there. You guys, thank you for tapping in, DJ.
You know, like, comment, subscribe, and if you want the smoke, hit up Casey.
And you know, Marcus number one in JJ Worley.
Hey, look, you gotta beat the army before you get to the king. All right.
Damn, so, I'm injured.
Oh so, yeah, so you yeah. lower than me, so look, you gotta go through Ross. Yeah.
So you gotta hit up Jay and hit up T if you want to, but
if you want your arm, bro.
All right, y'all stay blessed. Yeah.